It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoy.
Of course, that song originally done Jim Russell by the Bobby Fuller Four. That's the Clash version. I have to play something for our family reunion day, right?
Yes, yes.
It's the Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Si.
Right, they're back. I can't believe it. We have Chief Troy Sterling here from the Lake Havasu City Police Department and Fire Chief Pete Palafis in the house.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
You're not as energetic as your normal self. What's going on?
I don't know.
Is it the Bears and their poor start?
Yeah, they got crazy.
Man, they're just
that was
not.
Horrible. My fantasy football is horrible this year, and I had an A-plus draft. I don't believe anything AI says about fantasy football.
I was never high on that quarterback that they took from USC anyway. I think I made that mention on Speak Out several times. Because he didn't, Caleb, he did not fare well against ASU the one time I saw him play, and it just looked bad. They almost lost that game. A bad ASU team, by the way, not last year's, but. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink. Find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. And look what they did to our credenza over there. It's all reorganized and.
Does it have more cookies? Let's get to the important stuff.
There's Oreos there.
Oh, like Oreos
all
are okay.
The time now because I find them on sale. So I put Oreos in there. It's like the fifth or sixth food group of the Radio Central stations. Absolutely. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody, and we're very proud to welcome our family back into the studio for law enforcement and fire. Officials, fire, what do we call
prevention?
Them? We call law enforcement and fire.
Fire, rescue, and EMS.
Oh, perfect. Fire, rescue, and EMS. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah.
So there's a big story, Chief Sterling, that we were talking about before the show about Luigi Mangione and the United Healthcare CEO. He allegedly murdered. And two of the charges have been thrown out already. One of them was a terrorism charge. I don't remember what the other one was. But now they're talking about challenging the second-degree murder charge. How does that make officers... Does that have an impact on morale or anything? You know, when an officer sees a case go to court like that and then charges are thrown out.
Yeah, it can. And there has been cases like that. The biggest thing is... there needs to be that communication between the prosecutors and the investigators just to make sure everybody's on the same page. And I think when you see those frustration points come up, it's because that communication didn't occur. So I would imagine that there's been some communication on the side. Obviously, from a prosecution standpoint, they look at what's the best case scenario, what's the most likelihood of us getting a successful conviction out of this. And so they try to go with those charges that they think they have the best option to have success with. So sometimes, you know, from an officer or investigator standpoint, we're going to charge based on the black and white, what fits by statute, and then leave that up to the prosecutor to determine what's next. And so there has been occasion when there isn't communication that the prosecutors move forward with something without discussing it with the investigator. That causes that huge frustration point. And so I can't say that we're immune to that here in Mojave County, but we've worked out those differences and try to make sure that that line of communication is completely open because, yeah, the officers do see that. Why am I doing all this work, putting that effort into that case when the charge is just going to be dismissed? And so that communication is huge.
Because your department works alongside the Mojave County Attorney's Office, correct?
Right, all felony charges, exactly.
All felony charges. Yeah. Jim, did you have something?
No, I was just going to say, I imagine that in the prosecution side, they want to build, as you said, the strongest case.
Correct. Yep.
And anything that might not be terribly strong could weaken the overall case.
It could, yep.
Could look like a weak link and probably cause them trouble.
Yep, exactly. Especially for the cases like that that are going to, for sure, most likely go to trial.
Yes.
Right? And so they want to put, you know, their best foot forward on that.
What are the chances now that cases do go to trial, though? I hear a lot of them are settled out of court. There's a lot of plea bargains.
There is a lot of plea bargains, depending on what type of case. You know, it seems like in the last, especially year, you know, we've had a lot of cases, especially involving, you know, any type of sex-related charges. Those tend to, they're going to trial, and it's just, they're so time-consuming.
Hmm.
And so our detectives that work those victim-related type of crimes are very involved, you know, in their investigations and now having to worry about putting together their cases for trial purposes.
Time-consuming in what way? The evidentiary?
Just a lot, yeah, because there's a lot of hearings that lead up to an ultimate trial. Yeah. And then so, you know, the interviews going, you know, the attorney interviews, the defense attorney interviews, all of those things, preparation for a trial.
So speaking of the Mojave County Attorney's Office, let's say you charge a suspect with 3-4 felonies. Mm-hmm. Can they come back and put more on there, or are they limited to what has been charged?
No, they can add to those. Yeah, exactly. When they actually file their complaint. Yep.
Okay. Switching over to fire, we wanted to get an update on Fire Station 7.
Yeah, Station 7, actually, the city manager gave an update to council last meeting, and we're making progress. Actually, I'm waiting today. We should be getting our 60% to design of Station 7. So just continuously moving forward with the project. Our public works facility, our project manager is out of public works that is running that project. I'm just assisting with a member of our department as, we'll say, the customer. If what is needed at the station, this is a 24-hour station. Our firefighter paramedics live there. It's going to be part of the community blending in. The renditions that we have are renditions, and we feel that we have a great design team and contractor on board that is going to assist us. With our project managers, just making sure that we want this to be a fire station for the community and built by the community. So really reaching out to those local contractors here to bid on this project and work with the city of having their part in building this station to serve our community. So continuing to look forward, timelines, just like the city manager mentioned, about 26 quarter, getting hopefully groundbreaking sometime in 26. I'm not holding myself to dates
anymore.
That's
a 12-month window.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, no one can hold you to the date. So
okay.
It just kind of, it's in progress. It just takes a while. I mean, it seems like everybody wants it quick, and I want it quick, too, to provide that service.
Right.
But we just want to make sure we do it right the first time.
Oh, go ahead.
No, and just the ending is just making sure that this is a community fire station for Lake Havasu.
It's funny, I heard that type of timeline for the interchange for I-40 and 93. It was sometime in 27.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. But how much of the design do you have your fingerprint on?
So the thing is, I would say we gave renditions and we laid out the floor plan for our architect to design off of based on the footprint that we have. have. We're very unique in Havasu, just obviously with our street systems, our lot. We're built on a mountain. There's a lot to, that goes into it. So we're trying to maximize the use of that land, and it's, again, doing it right the first time, one and done. We have bigger apparatus bays for, I'll say, more apparatus bays to store our apparatus. I mean, sometimes it stays outside, and in this heating condition, it puts wear and tear on it. So, and it's blending into the community as a fire station that is really matches the decor of the surrounding areas, being a good neighbor.
Yeah.
So,
Jim, where is what apparatus is?
Yes.
Fancy word for equipment, right?
For trucks.
Yeah, right.
Where is it going to be?
So it's on McCulloch and Sloop Drive. So it's right on a main fairway in Lake Havasu, and kind of near, I say, near the foothills, entrance to the foothills off of Cherry Tree. So, and that's where it's going to. I've always said this, it's a fire station that is going to serve the entire city, but also their primary service area, too, includes the foothills.
Oh, very nice.
Pretty good, especially with the growth there.
Oh, absolutely. As we continue to grow, we need to continuously look at the data and our demand for future areas that might need fire service and emergency medical services.
Well, there's a lot of, I mean, it is what it is. There are a lot of high-end homes in the foothills, obviously. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain way to fight those types of fires? Because they're, you know, I mean, is the stick-built three-bedroom, two-bath the same, fought the same way as the custom home up in the foothills?
Or is it money burning?
I'm curious.
Well, the thing is, the nice protection that the foothill subdivision has is they're required to have sprinklers and life safety sprinklers, so individuals can get out of the house. The thing is, it just depends on the fuel load. The residential areas, the highest hazard for fuel load is in the garage. With all the toys we have, the fuels, and we use them as storage bins. Those are sometimes the fuel loads that can basically consume the entire sprinkler system and basically take it as those sprinkler systems are for life safety to get individuals out of the residence. So that's at least a benefit of having a 24-hour firefighter that is there with you all the time, is having residential sprinklers.
All that storage in your garage there, it's fuel.
Yeah.
It is fuel.
And that's Jim. Yeah. Perfect. So I'm hearing, I don't know, the last silent witness meeting, the discussion came up about ICE agents in Havasu. Are they still here, Chief?
They're sporadic. They'll usually let us know sometimes a couple days in advance when they're actually going to be here. That's just out of courtesy. They don't have to, but they have. And part of that reason is we allow them to utilize our holding facility if they do take somebody into custody, as long as they have an agent on standby there at the facility where they're housing people in custody, then we allow them to do that. So, but I haven't heard of them being here in at least a couple weeks, so I don't know if they have any
Is that something where they're detained in your jail?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Or MCSO or?
Yeah, either one.
Okay.
But because they're operating in the city, we allow them that space. And so, again, just because they're in their custody, I want them to have an agent on standby at the facility when they do that.
So do those illegals, and yes, they are illegal, Jim. I mean, they're here illegally. Is there a language barrier? Do you have somebody on staff that can deal with that?
Yeah, they do. Like, they will have an agent there on standby. We haven't had that issue. But, you know, talking about anything dealing with the language barrier, we have the capabilities to be able to call into the language line and have a translation immediately available to us. So that's not an issue.
You just don't hold up a phone and talk to Google?
Correct. Exactly. Technology is amazing now, right?
It could, actually. All right, let's go ahead and take a short break. We've got some journey for you, Chief Pete.
Appreciate it, Paul.
You always wanted to hear Don't Stop Believing, right?
I don't want to stop believing.
Don't Stop Believing in Station 7.
Yes.
All right. We're going to talk about more when we come back, including, I don't have a list of questions here, but I know I have a lot of questions for you, Chief Pete, especially about the programs you have, the CTE programs.
Yes.
There's more and more and more.
There is more.
Sounds like there might be some for the police department, too, possibly, in the future. Maybe.
Future, maybe.
And you've got employees that you want to recognize, correct?
Sure.
Yeah?
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
You saw my email, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Perfect. Brother Jim Russell's here as well. And we have Chief Troy Sterling and Chief Pete Palafis in the house. Later on in the show, we'll have Cindy Ritter, and we're going to talk about the annual Gold Star Moms Ceremony. This year, it's on the 28th of September. It's a Sunday, and we'll be honoring the Gold Star Moms and the soldiers that were killed in battle or killed in the service. All right, back with more in a moment on Speak Out. I don't have a word on tickets. Nope, we do not have tickets. Well, they're playing the Phillies this weekend, man. What are you going to do? But we did leapfrog, because I played for the Diamondbacks at one time. We did leapfrog the Giants last night, now a half game ahead of the Giants. You know that, right?
Yes.
That was a nice game last night. I always like those big six-run wins, right? Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. We're back on Speak Out, and Jim Russell's with us on a Monday.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday. Oh, my goodness. I did it. I actually did it, didn't I? We were talking about that earlier, though.
Yes, we were.
The space between Thursday and Tuesday
is very long.
It's like you have to retrain.
I know. It's incredible what a difference Tuesday is from Monday.
You had to be reminded to come to the show.
Yeah.
And it wasn't on your phone or calendar or anything.
No, it was.
I thought it was an employee.
Well, I had chosen to ignore everything till somebody said, "Shouldn't you be at the radio show?"
You weren't late or anything.
Well,
so that was good.
Of course, I wouldn't be late.
Right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By Just Meats, all the cuts, all the time. Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. By Springberg Wealth Management, Blonzi's Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road. You know those guys.
Yes, we're the best breakfast in town.
Did you have it today there?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Actually, I had planned a meeting with breakfast, and something came up that I couldn't make it.
Also, our newest sponsor, A&B Propane. How about that?
Great.
Real people, real service, no hidden fees, no runaround. ABPropaneAZ.com.
Great.
That's the Hobdays operation over there. Longtime residents of Havasu, right? Oh, we have a phone call. Somebody actually likes you guys and knows our number. 928-854-5687 if you want to call into the show. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, Paul and Jim. Guest, it's Wayne. How's everybody doing on this Tuesday?
Hey, Wayne. How are you, Wayne?
Good, good. Hey, the last segment, the fire chief brought up something about, you know, the garage and fuel, and it brought a question to mind. I have a bunch of 1 gallon empty propane bottles that I don't know how to dispose of. I don't want to throw them in the garbage. I don't want to throw them in the dumpster. The last thing I want to hear is somebody got hurt, you know, because of something I did. So what's the proper way to dispose of those things?
Yeah, Wayne, that's a great question. You can actually potentially bring those to our hazardous waste days, and we will accept those. And, you know, I don't mind getting back to you on that one, maybe talking to the propane companies. And if they're old and maybe exchanging them, it just depends on, are these for grills or for heaters?
Yeah, those little, I think they're 1 pound, those little teeny green ones. You know?
Oh, like for like camping and stuff?
Like the Colemans?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would, as long as the product is all out of that, if you don't know, but you know what, I'll get that answer for you. But I want to say you could probably bring it to our hazardous waste event, our annual one that's going to be happening in December. We're coming out with information and bring that and properly dispose of that there.
Okay.
But that's a great thing is, and I'm glad you brought this up, Wayne, is, you know, individuals need to stop or be very cautious of what they're putting in their garbage. We've had some incidents of individuals just putting batteries in there, and you've seen a couple of our Republic garbage trucks catch on fire. Hmm. And what the procedure is, what they try to do is find an empty lot, dump the load there, and then the fire department comes out and extinguishes it, because those dump trucks are at least $500,000, $600,000, and could put havoc on, obviously, life and property. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Okay. All right. Thank you much.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Wayne. We appreciate it.
Thank both you, Chiefs, for taking good care of us.
You're welcome.
And hey, we have a new saying on Speak Out. Did you know that, Wayne?
What's that?
Be like Wayne.
Uh-oh. Does that sound ready for that?
No, it's talk radio, not just listen radio. Be like Wayne and call in. Thanks, Wayne. We appreciate it.
Have a good show.
You too. Yeah, we made up some stickers one day, 3-4 months ago. Brought them in that said, be like Wayne. So
very cool.
We've talked about this on the show previously, the proliferation of the e-bikes, rechargeables, and people just leave them charging and expect them to, you know, shut off in the garage or whatever. And the next thing you know, there's a garage fire.
Sure. And the thing is, it's just making sure that you're using the manufacturer charger that came with the bike. A lot of individuals will buy those off-brand. I mean, not saying they don't work. They work for a temporary time. But are they tested with that particular device? And the thing is, especially in our warmer climate, and anything over 110, we call it hot. I just learned that today.
110.
110.
110 is hot.
Hot.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's very warm.
Yes. It is leaving those in that hot environment is just expanding and causing that chemical reaction and starting a fire. The thing is, with the lithium-ion batteries, if you're not using it or it's fully charged, unplug it so it's not overcharging the units. So
I can't claim that, by the way. That was Rick D'Amico's.
I know. You mentioned that 110.
From Fox 5 back in the day. He used to say, yeah, it's not hot until it's 110. Very hot to me is 116, 117.
Yeah, what's 120?
I don't know.
Extreme hot?
No, we call it, what is that, air fryer hot.
Yeah, that's opening the oven.
We used to say that.
Yeah.
We'd go outside. It was like walking into an oven.
Yes.
Now I just say it's like walking into an air fryer.
Yeah.
In Lake Death Valley. That's where we live, by the way. did you guys want to recognize some employees? We talked about this a little bit via email.
We did. The thing is, if you don't mind, I'm going to go first. I want to recognize really the entire fire department. And and I know it kind of sounds cliche-ish, but the thing is, it's not only the fire department, it's the entire city's employees. They're the ones that, you know, assist us in keeping the city safe, clean streets, the water going. So there's individuals that go above and beyond. And I'll state, we're at the Elks Club, the Law and Order. We're always invited as fire, and I'm giving an outstanding leadership award to Engineer Joe Tobin. He has really exemplified the outstanding leadership that he did with our paramedic students in assisting them in achieving their goals of becoming a paramedic. So this is our annual event, and I giving him that award and have a speech for him. And the Elks is nice enough to honor a member that we nominate.
Oh, cool.
So, but in saying that too, is it's the entire city employees that do the customer service and keep this city going, along with the residents. We all work together, and that's what I love, being here, living in the community, serving the community. So appreciate that.
I'm trying to start a new tradition here, and he goes and nominates the whole dang city.
Yeah.
I'd like to second that nomination.
Oh, man. He just shot down literally with a 9mm.
I think, you know, Pete brings up a great point. It is a team effort, and, you know, I think that's the thing is, any city employee, they're proud when they say that they work for Lake Havasu City, right? And so that's all part of it. We all have a role to play, no matter which department we're in. So, yes, I agree with what Pete's saying. I just want to call out a couple individuals. One was Shauna McKnight. She was a 30-plus year public safety dispatcher for us that recently retired.
Wow.
So that's a lot of years to do a very difficult job like that. And so I think she's bored out there in retirement right now, so we're trying to get her back as a volunteer at some point, but we're working on that. And then really upcoming, he's announced it, so no surprise, but Sergeant Mark Doyle, he's retiring after 31-plus years.
Wow.
With the department, and so he's retiring in November. So, you know, you see these people come and go now, you know, getting those many years of service, but that's a long time to devote to an organization, so really commend them on that.
I met Sergeant Doyle at one of our silent witness meetings.
Okay, yeah.
Remarkable resemblance, except he has the beard.
Yeah, now he, right.
Right, no, now he does.
Yeah.
Now he does, but I thought, you know, you look like a Doyle. I kept thinking that, but I want to get a little bit more serious here, especially with regard to schools, and we had Thunderbolt, of course, was in the focus a couple of weeks ago with school threats.
Yes.
No matter what kids say, I mean, how serious is this topic right now with school threats?
Yeah, it's it seems like we've had a spurt of them, and sometimes we see that based on what's going on in the country, that we seem to have like repeated type of threats that are or comments that are made that can be, you know, foreseen or taken as a threat. And between us and the school district, we work very well together. We take all of those seriously. The unfortunate part is there are a lot of resources devoted to any type of threats that are made, and we track those down to find, you know, ultimately the sources that heard it, all the way down to who potentially made that, and we dive in hard and heavy and to see if there's any credible threat, you know. And so we work well with the school district. Our officers are very devoted to that, and so, knock on wood, thank goodness we've had nothing but just comments that have been taken as threats. And we've, you know, forewarned through social media. Our officers went to one of the recent school forums just to let, you know, parents and students know that we take all of these threats seriously. And if it disrupts the operations, that we are going to charge them appropriately. And so, and then the school, in addition, takes whatever, you know, mechanism they're going to put in place there. But, yeah, we do take those seriously, and criminal charges potentially are going to come out of those threats.
Wow. Criminal charges, say, for a sixth grader?
Yes.
No kidding. Okay. So what are we talking about charge-wise then?
Usually it's the disruption of a public or a school facility.
Okay. Like don't yell fire in a theater type
exactly
thing.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Right.
So that's what ends up coming out of it, and then they get, referred to the probation department, and a lot of times whatever course that takes, based on the credibility. But the biggest thing is that the officers are then following up with the family to make sure, number one, if it was a threat made about a potential weapon, okay, do they have any access to weapons? You know, if we can at least eliminate that side of it, and then start, you know, moving in that direction. And yeah, it's just, unfortunately, if we don't take those threats seriously and something does happen that's bad and unfortunate, that we can't take that chance. We have to follow up on every one of them.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you have a threat and then something happens.
Right.
Holy cow. But how much of this goes back to talking to the family and saying, you know, they really need to know how important this is, even if they are in third or fourth grade?
Yeah, good point, Paul. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
That is a big part of it, and that's what we tried to stress, especially with the last incident we had with, you know, please, parents, talk to your kids. You got to make sure that they understand that even making a comment about bringing a weapon to school, that is taken seriously, because that's going to disrupt. That's going to alarm people, and that's what causes that chain reaction, and we're going to follow up on it. And so just they have to be cautious of the words that they're utilizing.
How does this normally come out then? Is it a friend of a friend of a friend said, hey, I heard so-and-so?
A variety of ways, but typically it is a student that maybe overheard or was directly involved in that conversation. And so thank goodness they'll bring those concerns forward to a school administrator.
Right.
And then they immediately notify us.
Yeah, we always preach, if you see something, say something, right? Or if you hear something, say something.
Yep, exactly.
So, all right. We still got a few more minutes before Cindy Ritter's going to come in. Did you guys have anything you wanted to part with?
Yeah, I just like to talk about our up-and-coming program that we have applications out for our paramedic firefighter apprenticeship program that we're starting at the fire department. This has been a project of mine and my department for the roughly about the last 3 years that we have been trying to create an apprenticeship program for individuals interested in a career in the fire department. It's a paid apprenticeship program. Individuals will be working side by side, learning the necessary knowledge, skills, and competencies for the position. And our applications are out until October 1st. I just looked up how many applicants we have at this moment. We have 16 individuals that are interested in the program. There are some requirements for the program. They are on our city website underneath HR, and you can look at them. We are requiring you at least have your emergency medical technician B level or enrolled in a program as one of our requirements, a high school diploma, willing to work and learn, and you want to make this a career. This is a transition then into potentially full-time employment. Not guaranteed, but it is going to set you a career path. And I'd like to just give a little shout out to the new partnership that we have with the high school, with our second program, with our EMS program. That's running real well and exciting, and appreciate the council on the consent agenda. Our IGA is our intergovernment agreement with Mojave College to host the 2016 Fire Academy at Lake Havasu City Station number 2 for this spring semester. Cool. So great partnerships, really preparing for our golden year, which is 2027, when we have some mass retirements of eight individuals that will be leaving.
Have any of these participants gone full cycle yet to join the department?
So we have two. We have two. We have we just brought one on, just hired yesterday, that was from our CTE program. So we have two individuals, and we have more coming.
Gosh.
So
how's candidate number one?
Azar Jr. He's doing really well. He just successfully passed his paramedic national registry exam. So really proud of him. Really proud of all the individuals that completed their paramedic certification and class. But Azar is doing real well. We have Ryder Spencer is just hired Monday. That was finished the academy last December or last year sometime, but he is a full-time member in our a firefighter paramedic trainee, and will eventually go to medic school
nice.
Too. So great success, great stories that
great
we
keeping
have.
Keeping them here.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. So how many are accepted into the apprentice program?
So that's a great question. There's two. We have two positions that will, it's our kind of a pilot program, so two positions will be available for our apprenticeship program, and we're hoping to start that in January.
All right. Chief Sterling's going for co-host. You better get up. He's right on your heels, man. What about you, Chief Sterling?
I just really talk about upcoming event season, man. We're going to be in full swing here, right, Jim?
Yes.
And so really just kind of putting that bug in everybody's ears that, you know, number one, we're going to be congested in a lot of areas. And so, you know, planning ahead, right? Make sure you're planning extra time for the travel, the parking, getting around events, if that's the case. Watch out for one another. Always ask that of everybody. If you see something, say something, bring it to our attention. Stay safe on the roads. Obviously, the biggest part is, you know, don't drive impaired, right? Let's watch out for each other. Use designated drivers, any of the public transportation methods that are available. And be aware of your surroundings. You know, the biggest one comes to my mind with dealing with Halloween coming up, right? Being in large crowds, you can get separated, and make sure that maybe you talk ahead of time on, hey, where's a designated area that we're going to meet up if we do get separated. And so just having that pre-planning ahead of time is useful.
Great. We'll see you guys before that, by the way. We'll see you on the 21st of October. How about that?
Awesome.
Right. Perfect. And we don't have that. You remember that Monday period we had with December?
Yeah,
to March, I think, was your first show of the year. Now we won't have that because of Tuesdays.
Well, I'm glad you brought the band back together.
Yes.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
It's like a family reunion, man.
It is.
Except Jim can't find a date. Little Get Out of Denver by Bob Seger. Cops and Commies is what I call this one, not Cops and Robbers. All right, back with more in a moment. We'll have Cindy Ritter coming in the studio for Gold Star Moms Day, the ceremony that's on Sunday the 28th, I believe it is. Guys, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Si.
I was going to get the word for reunion in Spanish, but...
Yeah. Beyond me. That gets to Google Translate.
It's beyond him. He only has a house in Mexico, right? All right. Thanks for being here, guys. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. All right, Cindy Ritter is here. We're going to be talking about Gold Star Moms Day. I just surprised you with a little factoid locally, didn't I? Oh, there you are. Okay. Yes, I did.
Yes, she said.
All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Also, Mojave College, samsguns.com by Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food, along with pet toys since 2006.
That's
a long time.
Yeah.
The self-service dog you watch, right?
That's the attraction.
Actually, that is the attraction. By the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with Bobby and Julie Lewis, and by Looky Lou's Antiques and Collectibles. I'll let you say the slogan.
You die, I buy.
That's right. I was talking to Scott about that today, and it's like he's known for that now, whether it offends you or not.
Yeah,
he's still
it's too
known
cool.
for that. And don't forget to shop local, spend local, eat local, and play local. And again, Cindy Ritter is the what would you say, caretaker of?
I'm the president of the Lake Havasu City Military Moms.
Oh, I didn't know you were the president now.
Oh, I've been the,
You've
president,
been the president
for a long time.
I should look at my old notes then, right? So that's Cindy Ritter, and we're going to be talking about the Gold Star Moms Ceremony. And what I kind of surprised her with, the factoid, Arizona Flags and Flagpoles gives us a list of commercials to rotate every month. And one of those this year they had made was for Gold Star Moms Day.
That's amazing. George rocks.
George does rock.
He rocks.
And that's how I knew it was on September 28th, which is a Sunday. It's the last Sunday in September.
Always.
I did learn that from you. So this is going to be held at Wheeler Park again.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Is that by the soldier over there?
By the USA statue. We will have chairs, and we will provide the battery-operated candles because we gave up on the real candles because the kids up there in heaven are always blowing out our candles. So we got battery-operated ones to outsmart them.
That's up to moms to always outsmart their kids, right?
We try.
Exactly. Tell us how this ceremony came to be in Lake Havasu City.
Well, the ceremony started way before me. And the reason for it is the last Sunday in September is Gold Star Mother's Day. And we want to honor those moms and the families and the kids that they have lost while serving our country. It's the worst ceremony that I have to do. Because I know I'm reminding them of the worst day of their life. And they are, all of my moms are so very, very gracious with me. And if they're in town and able to make it, they come out and allow us to honor their children. We'll honor their children, whether they're here, you know, present or not. And I feel it's very important because our freedom isn't free.
Right.
And I believe that people, they know that, but they need to be reminded of that. And they need to see something personal so that they really understand that it's not free.
Yeah. Did you notice anything about that answer, Jim? That she speaks about those mothers in the third person, but Cindy's not one of those, right?
No.
Right. That's what I find very interesting.
Definitely not a Gold Star mom. Don't ever want to be a Gold Star mom. I do not have any children in the military. My dad was in the military. My brother-in-law, who I feel was my brother because he married my sister when I was three, was in the Navy Seabees. He served three tours in Vietnam.
Wow.
My dad was in the Army. My grandson-in-law is currently serving in the Navy, and they're stationed in Virginia. But my veterans and active duty kids are very, very important to me. And
how many Gold Star bombs do you have?
In this immediate area, in Havasu, we have four that are still here. We honor, actually we have five, because I met a new mom that moved here from California.
So they move on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of them, last time I knew a couple of them, one was in Germany and one had moved to, I believe it's Scotland, so they're completely out of the country, but we continue to honor them.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's other Gold Star moms out there that I don't know about, we would love to be able to meet. I would love to meet you, and I would love to be able to honor your child as well.
What time is the ceremony?
It starts
the
28th? At 6:30.
6:30.
Yes.
And then how do the events unveil themselves?
We have an MC that we do, of course, an opening prayer, and then we have an MC that goes through all of the kids that we're honoring, says a little bit about them, and then we have a person go up to the table and light a candle for them that goes in a bag on the table itself.
Okay, so the MC this year is Bud Watts, and so he'll say something about the fallen soldier. And then the family member comes up and
a family member or someone that I have asked to light the candle for that child.
That must be tough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, like I said, it's
no,
not...
No, the asking part I meant.
Yeah. It's not a easy ceremony.
I don't know how you do it.
For any of us to get through. And I'm a crybaby, so I cry at the drop of a hat on all sorts of levels.
You're not a crybaby. You're just sensitive to certain things. I'm the same way. I totally understand.
Yeah.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, Paul. Russ Mascari.
Hey, Russ. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I just want to tip the hat to Cindy. Cindy is a little more than the president of the Lake Havasu City Military Moms.
Mm-hmm.
She also serves as president of the 9/11 committee, and she did an outstanding job of pulling everything together for a very good rededication ceremony we had just last week.
This must be a tough...
She also serves as the secretary for the Veterans Treatment Court resource team. So she's got a full plate, and I think her husband's even given her a little crap about clear the deck a little bit. But anyway, she is a first-rate volunteer and does a great job in various activities around the city. So hats off to you, Ms. Ritter.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Or as I
you know, it makes my heart happy.
All right, Russ.
As I call you your nickname, Critter, you're a good critter. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks,
Thank
Russ,
you.
And thanks for your service. We appreciate you.
Semper Fi.
All right. And hoorah, right? Okay, 6:30, Sunday, September 28th. This must be a tough month for you.
Oh, it's busy. So, you know, summer is relatively slow, but we start planning the 9/11 ceremony. The committee starts in May. So, fortunately, that runs pretty smoothly because we've done it for so long. And then I have the 9/11 ceremony, then we go into London Bridge Days, and then we go into Fall Fun Fair, and then, you know, it just...
Right.
You have to catch your breath in the summer, because if you don't, it's all over.
So pretty much everybody military-wise is represented at this ceremony, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you have some elected officials as well, dignitaries?
I invite city council, and the mayor comes out and speaks. Judge Kalali is hopefully going to speak. I haven't been able to get with him yet for sure. Joan McDermott is going to speak. So they keep their speeches about less than 5 minutes, I tell them.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole ceremony only lasts about an hour.
Okay. And did you mention Judge Kalali?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you did.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. All right. And then Joan McDermott and, of course, Mayor Cal Sheehy.
Yes.
Perfect. Those are your guest speakers.
Yes.
And, the one I have trouble with is Taps. They played that at my dad's funeral. And, yeah, that was tough.
Yeah. It gets me it gets me every time.
Yeah.
It gets me every time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Anything that we missed?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
We'll take our last break of the hour. And, again, thanks for being here, Cindy.
Thanks for having me.
Cindy Ritter, the president of the Gold Star Moms here in
Thank
Kapsu.
You.
Lake Havasu City Moms.
Oh, Lake Havasu City Military Moms. God. Maybe we should have said that during our phone call yesterday. Just remind me next time I call you in.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you
very
much.
Thank you so much. Exactly. Like I said, Tuesday I have to be retrained.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. God, thy glory. All right, as we honor one of our callers, right?
Yes,
That's for Russ Mascari. He'll sit here and sing it while the music's going. It's wild. All right, in the words of Joe Rogan, right? Wild. All right.
Yes.
On tomorrow's show, speaking of wild, go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I was just going to say thanks to all the Marine Corps League.
Yeah, absolutely. Detachment 757.
Good for you.
All right. The Real Estate Power Hour. Boom! That's tomorrow on Speak Out. I guess I'd better rouse the boys and have them come in here. Of course, Chad and Bobby. All right, Hannity's up next.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.